Chapter 3, if you've not been here, we've been teaching through Thessalonians. We started with 1 Thessalonians. We made it through there. Now we went through 2 Thessalonians, and we are in chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 2 tonight, and that is it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2. The Bible says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for us." Even Paul had times when he felt he needed people to pray for him. Even Paul. I know we knew that. Sometimes maybe we forget it. Even he needed the prayers of the saints. And I ain't meaning to get ahead of myself, but let me say this. I think there's something we learn already that God is saying. He needed it, and he asked for it. I think most of us know we need people to pray for us. Amen? Anybody in here that you don't really need nobody praying for you? Okay. I don't think the problem is coming to the place, especially when I look at you, knowing you, that we know we need people to pray for us. I think one of our problems is we don't want to ask. We don't want to ask. You know what ought to happen Sunday? What ought to be able to happen is everybody in this room that needs prayer, I think the Lord would want you to ask. And then the Lord would want the body of Christ to come around you and pray for you. And I wonder how many times we rob ourselves of something that was ordained for us through the ministry of the body of Christ just because we don't ask. And I don't know why. Maybe it's pride. Or maybe we feel like we don't want to keep bothering everybody every Sunday. I feel like I'm that guy sometimes. Some people may be afraid of what will happen if everybody come around them and pray. I don't know. You know, I think all those may be answers that you may feel. But I just can't go any further without reading that even Paul needed prayer, and he asked the church for it. And the Lord wants you tonight. I say this in the authority of the Word of God, okay? He wants you to be able to ask your church family to pray for you. That is a good thing. Somebody say amen. I know some of us are shy and we don't want no pity or nothing like that, and that's not what that is. We need prayer from one another, and we need to ask sometimes. We need to ask. So I pray this. I pray that from now on, at least you and I, when we come here, that we will be reminded of the word of the Lord, and he will remind us that next time we're aware that we need it, that we would ask. Amen. Let me go forward. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. I will stop there. Paul asked the church to pray for him. He asked the church to pray for him. And let me just remind you, we talked about this not too long ago, and we kind of dove into what the meaning of the word prayer is. And I think that's just a fantastic place to start, since that's one of the first thing he says is in this verse. Is when he asks them to pray, exactly what does he mean by pray? Now, I think we all have a very general, familiar idea of prayer, but let's narrow it down just a little. Let's be specific with it, and let's not do it based off what we think about it or what we think it ought to be, but let's let the word tell us. And so when he uses the word pray, he uses this word in the Greek, prosyuskamahi. That's the Greek word. That's a big old long word just to come out in a little English word like pray. But that is the word. And some of you are going to remember this. That word means an exchange of wills, a an exchange of wills, an exchange of desires. Now, let me say this. I really believe prayer, one element, and we can teach on prayer and everything that it is, but and this is just one facet of it. This does not exclusively sum up everything that prayer is, but there is one principle in this that I think Paul wants us to see when we see this word and what it means, and it's just exchange of desires. And I think spirit-led biblical prayer, when we're praying the way the Lord wants us to, the way we're supposed to, one thing that's going to happen there is we bring our will and our desire before the Lord, and we exchange it for His. We exchange it. I don't know if I like the way that sounds. Let me say it like this, and you've heard it said like this, that prayer is not about God getting all in your feelings as much as it should be us getting all in His. Maybe we should say it like this. Prayer is not about, it's not about getting God lined up with me and how I am and what I feel and what I'm going through, as much as it is, prayer is for me to get lined up with who He is and how He is. You'll never find a better example than when you watch Jesus pray. When you watch Him pray, it is driven by what His Father wants, right? It's driven by what His Father wants. I mean, we see this. We see it in His most in-depth, agonizing, intense prayer when He is praying in the garden. We see that. We see that. God, this is my will. This is what I want. But if it ain't what You want, if it ain't what You want, Your will be done. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Right? Jesus consistently, as He prays in perfection, expresses that one concept in prayer we got to understand is about us getting lined up with Him and His wills, His desires. And I think in prayer, if I can go to the Lord in great communion, and I can tell Him what I feel and what I desire, and I can bring that to Him, and I can lay that down to Him, and if I can walk away with what it is that God is after in me after communion, that is prayer. That is prayer. I really think what the church needs to do in these last days is we need to be praying. One reason why we're going to come at 9:30 on Sunday is because I feel impressed in me so strongly that we need to be praying. So we emphasize it every Wednesday. You emphasize it on Sunday during worship. And now I'm emphasizing it even more on Sunday prior to it. And I don't know where to go from there. I am feeling led by the Lord that we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. And God is stretching some of us in prayer. He is stretching some of us. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak, and we give out too quick. We give out too quick. And I think God is stretching us in this prayer. But He also wants us to understand that this is not where we come in with a to-do list for God to do based off what we think the church needs and what I need and what you need. That's not what it is. It's where we spend time in His presence and in communion, and we begin to lay out everything. It's okay to cast your cares upon Him. He cares. Bring your feelings to Him. Bring everything going on inside of here and inside of here and in your body. You bring it to Him. But what must happen is there must be the exchange. You give that to Him, you let Him deal with it, but if that's all that happens in prayer, then you didn't engage in the fullness of prayer because you missed out on the other part of it, and that is where He exchanges His will and His desire into you. I would say this, if you don't share the gospel, knowing that we're supposed to, everybody, right? Everybody. Who's commissioned? Who's the Great Commission to, right? Is that not all of us? That's all of us. We're all supposed to share the gospel. All of us. Okay, if we don't do it, And furthermore, we don't even have a desire to do it. That would tell me that you just don't pray enough, or you don't pray the right way spiritually. Because biblical, the idea of heavenly spiritual prayer, one of the concepts is there is this great exchange. I can lay down my desires and my will and everything that's going on. I can bring it to Him. I can entrust Him with it. I ain't got to worry about it no more. But I got to walk away with His will and His desires in me. And when that happens, I think we find ourselves with a desire to share the gospel, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked. Huh? And I think one reason why the church fails to do so many times is we don't even understand some of the basic concepts of prayer. It's not God lining up with you. It's you lining up with Him. It's not God getting all in, working in all your fields. It's you getting in Him and what He desires and what He is longing for in the earth, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. I want to say this. If it's ever going to manifest in the earth through me, it's first got to get inside of me. On earth as it is in heaven. So the standards and the desires and the wills of heaven has first got to get in me before it manifests in the earth. Right? Prayer. Are you with me? Paul says, pray. Now, I'm just walking through as he's asking the church to pray, because he don't just tell them to pray and what he means by prayer, but he gets very specific. And I just want to walk you through this, okay? Just simple. We're just going to look at it together. What does he say? Just learn for a little bit. That the word of the Lord may have free course, if you got a King James. The word of the Lord. Word. Somebody say logos. The logos. That is, logos, it simply means the expression. It's an expression. It's God's expression of His will, what He wants, what He's doing, His desires, His ways. It is expressed through a word. That's simple, right? How do I tell you what I feel and what I want? I mean, I tell you. We that's the way God made us. We communicate through words. And that's why Jesus is called the Word, the Logos, because in Him we see what is in Yahweh, what He wants, His desires, His will. It is all encompassed and is fulfilled in this God-man, Jesus Christ. He is the Word. So when I want to tell you what is deep down inside of here, I begin to try to do so with my words. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? If I'm going to tell you what is deep in here, I do it with words. And when God got ready to tell the world what is deep in Him, He did it through His Son, Logos. And I need you to understand that God has a desire to express what is in Him to the world. The word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the expression of the Lord expressing to the church, to us, expressing to the world what He is doing, what He wants to do, what He is up to, what His desire is. That is the word. So when you hear somebody say, the Lord is giving me a word, or you've probably heard me say, I've got a word this morning, and that's not something I conjured up, some fancy-sounded sermon. Y'all know I ain't got nothing fancy about them most of the time, but it is when I feel so persuaded in my spirit through the Holy Ghost and the Word of God that I'm about to tell you an expression from the heart of God Himself. That's what's beautiful about it. That's what makes this different than anything else in the world, any other book, because you ain't reading a story or a narrative. It ain't just different genres of literature. You getting into something that if Holy Ghost will walk you through it, and if you will pursue it and seek it, you're going to begin to see the manifest expression of God Himself, the Word. He says, I want you to pray that God's expression, what is in His heart, what He is doing, what He wants to do, what the Lord is doing, what He wants to do, I want you to pray that it will have free course. Now, the Greek word for this is somebody's Bible if it ain't a King James. Y'all know me. I'm still got a King James up here and probably will to the day I die. And it's not that I'm super dogmatic about that. It's just me, okay? It's just me. Some of your Bibles may just say spread instead of free course, okay? Either way, the Greek word is trecho, and it comes from a specific word picture in the Greek games, and it is the idea of a sprinter, Jacob. It is to line up, and it is like in the Greek games, it is to run wide open, just like you're in a race. Just like you're in a race, the gun goes off and you come out the hole and you run as fast and as hard as you can, and there's nothing in you or in your way. You go till you get to the finish line. You go till you're finished. You go till you win. That is the word that he is using here when Paul says, pray that the expression of the heart of God, the word, that this is what it would be like in the earth, that it would be like a sprinter. It would be wide open, nothing in the way, and it would take its course wide open in intensity until it is finished or until it wins. Somebody say amen. That's good. That's good. He said, I wish the word, God's expression, the word, it would take off with nothing in the way, and it would be fast and intense, and it would spread intensely until it is finished, until it runs the full course, until it wins. He said, that's what we're praying for. That's what we're praying for. Some of you don't see where we're going with this. I think tonight that the Lord is telling us specifically what he wants us to be praying. Let me ask you, how much time did you spend praying that the expression of the heart of God, the Logos, the Word, would spread, would sprint until it is fulfilled with nothing to stop it, until it's full course and wins? How much time we spend? I love that Paul, he's about to carry, he is impregnated with the Word of God. He is giving birth to a Word. But before he does, he is asking the church to be praying that this Word would sprint and spread and have its free reign, its free course. Even Paul knew that if this Word, this Gospel, the Word of God, if it was going to do what it was, that the church was going to have to pray. It's funny to me that we'll sit and talk about how the world just can't see all this right here. Why don't they see it? And I don't see how they can't believe it and this and that. And a lot of times we saying it nearly as if we're critical about it and didn't spend a bit of time praying that the Word would have free course. Come on, right? Where's the church in the last days that is crying out, Lord, let your word have free course? Because don't you forget for one second, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we just rolled off the heels of a chapter that was emphatically making mention of the end times. So what is Paul really saying? In the end times, church, I'm asking you that you pray that the Word will have its free course and it will sprint and spread with nothing in the way. It will be fulfilled and it will win. And not only does he pray that and be glorified, that the Word of the Lord would spread and the Lord would be glorified. You hear this? This is what he's telling them to pray. Here, the first thing is pray that his expression, his words would sprint and spread, that it would win, that it would have free course, nothing in the way. And then I want you to pray that this same Lord that's speaking this word, expressing his heart, even from God, the abundance of his heart, the mouth speaks. Also pray that he's glorified. Again, an exchange of wills. It sounds just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. Doxazo is glorify. It's such a word that we all seem to know exactly what it means, then go try to explain it, and it's not so easy. Right? Because it, you find out, well, this word is big and it's vast and it really means a whole lot. And I know exactly what it means until I got to tell you, and then it turns into pages, you know. I heard it said that God is glorified when he is valued, when his value is equivalent with his worth. When his value is equivalent with his worth. Right? Sometimes you and I value things that ain't worth much. Some things we don't value that's worth a whole lot, right? Have you ever valued something that even God probably didn't want you to value? Huh? For God to be glorified, I heard it said, doxazo means that men would begin to value him in a way that's equivalent to his worth. How much is he worth? What if men even began to get close to value God in a way that equates to how much he is worth? That would certainly mean he's the most important thing in our life. That would mean he's the most important thing on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. It would mean he's the most important thing right now and when we go to bed and when we wake up. It would mean he is the most important thing that we will ever know, that we will ever taste or touch or experience. He is more valuable than anything. That's when he says, pray that the Lord would be glorified. And there's something to be said. I believe there's something married together here that if the Lord is to be glorified among mankind, then his word, his expression must go and run its course and win in them. Oh, my God. I'm telling you this. If we are ever going to value God in any top way that's equivalent to his worth, then his word is going to have to sprint through the corridors of our soul and win inside of us and have free reign inside of us. And when that begins to take place, then we can value him for who he is. Am I the only one that ain't valued Jesus like I ought to? Now, I can talk a good game and I can talk good about it, but I'm talking about being real tonight. Am I the only one that didn't value him nowhere near what he is worth? Every day I feel like I always certainly fall short of that, God. I valued this a little more than I should, and I didn't value you as much as I should. God, help me. And I'll tell you this. Skip reading your Bible. Not necessarily reading your Bible. Skip spending time in the Word with Holy Ghost. And it won't be long until you begin to value God less. Now, your Sunday school language that is ingrained into you may not ever say different. But what you feel in here will be different. And how you think up here will be different. And how you act out here will be different. You may say good words and you may always say, well, he is preeminent in all things and he is God and he's the best and no one compares. We can say those things till we blue in the face. But until we begin to feel some of that and that begins to rule our mind and dictate our actions, and that is when we begin to value him based off his worth. The most important. But if that's going to happen, the word has to have free course in us. If God is going to be valued in the earth, do you not know by now that men are sinful? They are blinded in their natural estate. Our fallen heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. I'm just telling you things the Bible says. The Bible says that apart from him, we are in darkness. How good do you see in the dark? Some of y'all can't see good in the light. You see nothing in the dark, you know? You understand what I'm saying? If men are going to see, I heard a guy say the other day, I forgot what it was, something about being in prison. I said, I responded back something along the lines that this is what I think about men, mankind. We are so impressionable, and we will always be most impressed by what is most impressive. Then why are we not most impressed with God? Because we are blinded to how impressive he is. Some of us meet every Sunday and still have some blind spots as to just how impressive he is. Are you with me? Pray that the word, the logos, the expression of God through word, that the word would have free course, that it would sprint and it would run, have free reign, it would win, it would come to fulfillment, and that he would be glorified. He's not going to be glorified until it happens. I love that Paul, when he does pray, the end result is that God is glorified. How many of you know that that must always be the end result? Always. I love, you may not like him or you may like him. I don't even care if you do or don't, frankly. I love that John Piper says that when God is most glorified, we're most satisfied. In our life, when he is being most glorified, that's when we're going to be the most satisfied, because we are designed for his glory. We thrive when he is glorified. We thrive in his glory. We are transformed by his glory. We are so sensitive to the glory of God, if we can just get there. He says, as we behold him, we're being transformed into his image, right? By the Holy Spirit, from glory to glory to glory. So when I behold him, I behold his glory, and I'm transformed. And the more glory I behold, the more I'm changing. And it's a work of the Holy Spirit. We are sensitive to the glory of God. You're designed for the glory of God. So when Paul prays, the end all is the glory of God. But you got to understand, the means by which we get there is the word. It's the word. The word having its free course in our life. The word winning in our life. The word sprinting through us. And how does that happen? We back on up. Communion with God. Prayer. We intercede and we exchange wheels with it. Are you with me tonight? Do you see this? I don't know what you come to hear, but this is what you're getting. I need this. I've been pastoring here 11 years, and it's so fresh to sit down and the Lord just teach me. And these are things I think I know, but it is so fresh and heavy tonight in my spirit. And watch this. This is good. What God is trying to do is tell us specifically in these last days. That's the context. Right? I ain't joking. I ain't making it up. That's the context. The last days. Okay? One way we're to be praying, and that is we approach it right, knowing that there's going to be an exchange when we pray. I lay my wills and my desires. I bring it to him. I trust them with him. But I don't walk away without what God wants, his desires, his wills. Lord, help me love what you love. Help me want what you want. God, I want to want the things you want. Lord, this is what I want, and this is what I'm worried about, and this is what I'm dealing with, and this is what I need you to do, and I'm going to bring that to you right now, but I'm going to leave it down right now, and I'm not going to take it back with me when I get done. But what I am going to take back with me is what you want, what you're doing, what you got going on, what you love. That's what I want to walk away with. I come to you with something that I don't even want, and I want to walk away with something that you want. Lord, I want what you want. Lord, take me there to where my desires become your desires. Prayer. You get there through prayer. And somewhere in that, when we approach prayer with that mindset that I lay my will and desires down and I seek after his, and then we pray specifically that the word of God will have its way, and that the end all be that he be glorified and valued. What's the next thing he says? Even as it is with you. Even as it is with you. This is good. Okay, what I'm about to tell you is good. Who gets credit for your testimony? God. Who did it? God. Right? He did it. And if he ever did it to you, you won't forget it. Right? I know God does things differently in each of our lives, specifically, but in general, this is what he's doing to the church. He says, look, let me say it like this. If we're going to start with the word having its course, and this is what we're praying for, that in the earth, in your community and in your home and people you encounter, that the word of God will sprint and have its way, that it will win, and that the end result over here is that he will be valued and glorified. But we're praying that God's expression would take place in the earth. This is one thing he tells the church. He says, even as it did in you. So what is he saying? He's telling them, let me tell you how to be praying, church. What's got to happen is God's expression through word to the world, it's got to have its free course. And one way that's going to happen is, and he recalls that back to how God did that in them. In other words, something like this. You may be new in the faith, and you may not have a lot of theology and doctrine. You may be a babe in Christ, but one thing you got is a testimony of what God did for you, how God saved you when he come to you when you couldn't go to him, how he loved you when you couldn't even love you, and maybe nobody else loved you, when you was dirty and rotten and sinful and wretched, yet grace come to you. He came to you, and you remember the day that you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you remember the weight that was lifted. You remember the cleansing that you felt. You remember how he flooded your soul with love. Does anybody remember that tonight? I'm telling you, you need to go to the prayer chambers, and you need to pray that over people in the earth. Don't just say, God, save them. Tell God, I pray that you would go to them, even if they don't care a thing about you, because that's where I was when I got saved. Go to them in their deception and in their sinfulness. That's where I was when I got saved. And God, I pray that you would grab hold of them and grasp them and shake them. That's what he did to me when I got saved. And you walk through. And God, I pray that you would reach down and you would rescue them from that dark pit of despair, because that's what he did when I got saved. I thought I was already going to heaven, but he sure did open my eyes. That's what he did when I got saved. You begin to pray how God's word had free course in your life. If you remember it, pray it back to him and pray it over people in the earth. We can just say, Lord, would you save them and be done in 4 seconds? Or we could exchange desires and pray that God's word would sprint and have its way, and begin to pray specifically, passionately, earnestly, and fervently that God do in them what you did in me, what you did in those that came before me, what you did in Granny Marvelline, what you did in my mama. You pray it. Pray the testimony. You've beheld the goodness of God. You've seen it. You've felt it. You've heard it on the outside and on the inside if you've been born again. I think God likes to hear the details. He ain't forgot them. But I think he likes when you remind him of the details. God, I remember when I left that day and I crossed that bridge. It was the prettiest bridge I ever seen. You think I'm kidding? I thought that. It's plumb crazy. I just saw the fingerprints in the glory everywhere. Didn't see it coming. But boy, after it happened, what I saw, pray that. He said, just the way it did in you. Pray for me. Pray for the word to have its course the way it did in you. Well, I can pray for God to deliver you, but if you've ever really been delivered, why don't you go back through it, detail by detail? And God don't need that. I think it's you that needs that. I think it's you. I think that's one way that God uses you to pray powerfully. when you're praying through the authentic work of God inside of you anyway. According to his word, according to what he did in you, your testimony. Well, the end result, that he be glorified. Are y'all with me tonight? Look, I'm not trying to just teach something about prayer. I'm trying to tell you in about 10 minutes, we're going to get down and pray for this stuff. Because I felt like that it wasn't good enough that we walk through two verses and learn a little something or be reminded. That ain't what God is trying to achieve in this place tonight. He wants us to know, and he wants us to understand, and he wants to be edified and learn. But he also wants us, when we get done, to pray that his word has free course. And pray that you do it the way you've always did it. Pray specifically about his glories experienced in you, so that God, you will be valued in the earth based off your worth. Does this make sense? Am I losing everybody? I see some of you's with me. Some of you's with me. I don't know about some of the rest. Pray your testimony. Verse 2. That we may be delivered. We may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Another translation may say perverse and evil. Unreasonable, perverse. Tapas, it means out of place and strange. Evil. Poneros, it comes from panos. It means pain and trouble. I've heard some people translate it, delivered from monstrous men. Strange, pain-invoking men. Sinful, wicked, strange, painful, invoking men. And he ends it because not everybody has faith. Not everybody has faith. Not everybody has faith. Not everybody has been regenerated. Not everybody has been reborn. Not everybody has been delivered and saved and justified and sanctified and spirit-filled. Are you with me? And those who are not, by course of the nature of the flesh and the influence of the enemy, you count on one thing that's inevitable. That's death. That's death. Lust is conceived, brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. But let me tell you the perfect recipe for a human. And I'll say it, and you look around. A man stays in his lost condition, in the dark, totally blinded to anything about the Lord, letting his carnal fleshly desires, his insatiable lust, govern him. And then with the aid of the enemy, the demonic, prior to death, men will be monstrous men. Humans will be monstrous, right? That's extreme. It's extreme. How are you so focused on the current events and can't even see that point? I turn it on now and men are monstrous men. Tommy, you can read the history books, can't you? People have been cruel, monstrous. Men left undone in their darkness. Victim of their carnal flesh with insatiable lust under the influence and the help of the enemy. Men will be monstrous in the earth. Men. Humans. They're a record of some of the most cruel, unthinkable things. And it ain't just one or two. It's a long history. A long history. Most cruel thing on the planet is a man. It ain't a snake. It ain't a spider. It ain't what we think it is. Is a man who's in darkness, who has journeyed and been drawn and led and pulled by his insatiable, carnal, nasty lust. And then with the aid of the demonic, Satan, the enemy, certainly leads to death. But between point A and point B, he will be monstrous. That's why the Bible says that humanity is hostile towards God. So monstrous that we are hostile towards God. Even Revelation says that they will shake their fist. He says, pray that I'll be delivered. Now, I ain't trying to scare nobody tonight. But he's saying, pray, because we're going to be in the midst of people. Now, Paul dealt with them. He was persecuted by them, right? He was persecuted by them. He knows what it's like to be beat with rods and whips and to be starved and to be incarcerated. And he knows. He's dealt with monstrous men. He's dealt with monstrous men. You've dealt with monstrous men. He says, pray. Let's be praying. God will keep us free and delivered from what they are doing so that God will do what he is doing. My God. My God, some of you married that monster. And it was all part of the plan of the enemy too, right? The enemy loved every bit of it. Some of you's been wounded deeply by cruel people. And some of them sit on pews every Sunday. He tells them how to pray. He tells them how to pray. Miss Brandy, would you play a song? That's it. I didn't just come to try to teach those two verses. If all we did was hear what was just said and we don't pray that this word that we've heard be fulfilled in our intercession tonight, then we failed. We failed. We were not good seed. We're not good soil. Right? So tonight,
I'll never be before we leave,
let's pray.
Then I ask right now, wasn't pray. Holding you up.
If you need prayer, so ask the church to pray for you. I guarantee you, people will pray.
Does it take a trophy?
But let's pray.
God's
word is
right.
Let's pray.
I'll never be more
as you pray for these people that need Jesus. You think about what he did in you and pray it.
In going through a storm,
pray that deliverance.
But I won't go down.
Pray that rescue for
I
you.
Hear your voice carried in the
pray that
of
opening of eyes the way he opens your eyes. Pray that their hearts would be softened the way he softens your heart.
So
that he'd be valued. He'd be valued. Everybody's upset because people don't value us the way we think they should. And we walk around with insecurity and hurt feelings because we ain't valued the way we think we should be. It is God that is not valued the way he should be. When will we weep over that? Truth is, I might be valued the way about right sometimes. But him. Out above the church. If Holy Ghost is in you, the Bible says that he lusteth to envy and others. He is jealous. He is jealous. He is jealous when men set their affections on things other than Jesus Christ. It bothers him. And if he lives in you, it ought to bother us that he is not valued. So what are we going to do? We're going to pray. His word, his prophetic word, spoken word, the gospel would have free reign, that it would sprint. It would sprint to the finish. That it would win in the souls of men, in the homes of men, in communities. Pray. Pray that men who try to stand in the way and set traps and that it won't work, that they won't deliver, that we'll be delivered, that they won't capture, they won't hinder, they won't stand in the way, that we'll be delivered. and their plots and their plots and their ploys against us. Pray. Pray. God, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Lord, let me see a lost man one time the way you see a lost man. God, let me preach next Sunday to your bride the way you see her, not the way I do. Oh, my God. Lord, let me look into the eyes of the addict the way you do. God, I want your exchange. God, I know my desires, and I know what I want, and I know what I think I need. Can I just lay it at your feet and walk away with what it is you want? Express yourself in the earth. Express your heart through your word in the earth. God, nothing would stand in the way. God, evil, vile men. God, I pray your expression would run and it would sprint. It would win. You would be glorified. You would be glorified. Lord, I pray you would save them. I pray that you would save them. I pray that you would visit the religious, those who are so sure they're okay, but so deceived because they ain't. Because that's what you did when you saved me. God, open their eyes. Open their eyes. Oh, God. I pray you would arrest them. Arrest them. Holy Ghost, I pray that you would arrest them and open their eyes. I pray, God, that you would, God, remove the weight of shame and guilt and the identity of a sinner and give them a new name. And I pray they would feel in their spirit that they are sons and daughters of God and they are saints. I don't feel like a saint, but God, if you call me one, I better call me one. If that's what you call me, that's what I better call me. I remember peace. I thought I knew what it was. I thought I knew what peace was. I thought I knew what it was when my mama picked me up. I thought I knew what it was when my daddy protected me, God. But I didn't know what it was. Lord, till you come to me that night. Give them peace. Lord, I pray that they would overflow. Lord, that they couldn't contain it. That they couldn't get over it. God, the next morning, that they couldn't hold it in. Lord, that they'd tell them, you got to know this Jesus. I got to tell you what he did. Lord, I pray you'd do it in them that night. Do it in them. Do it in me. God, I pray your word. Have free reign. Free will. Express yourself in no hindrances. Lord, let your word win. I pray it would prevail. Lord, we come against everything that stands in the way of the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, we come against everything tonight that stands in the way of the furtherance of the gospel. But I pray you would bring it beyond the religious term into a spiritual reality that never goes away, that can't be forgotten, that can't be denied. Oh God, be valued. Lord, I pray Sunday, Lord, when we come here, Lord, be valued in this house, God. Be valued. Lord, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. Lord, be adored. The
Lord, I pray that we would cast off everything that you don't approve of. That, Lord, we would repent of sin. We would go after
it.
How much, Lord, does he love
you? It's more than you ever think or imagine.
We pray for revival. That's what we mean when we ask for revival. That your word would have free reign. Lord, it would be real, life-changing, the way it was in
heaven.
Saying things like this, well, worship wasn't as good today. I read one thing today where it said, somebody said, I guess it's hypothetical, I don't know. It said, well, worship wasn't, I didn't enjoy worship today. And the pastor said, well, that's fine, because it wasn't you who was worshiping. It ain't about if you like it. It's something you're giving to him. It don't matter if you're the only person in the room. It don't matter if they ain't a song. It don't matter if there's all kind of annoying racket going on. It's something you give to him. Worship is something you give to him. Probably if you didn't like it, it means you didn't do it at all. Yeah, people in church saying, I ain't listening to that music. All they do is say the same thing over and over and over and over. Well, if you ever read your Bible, they stand before the throne and they say the same thing over and over. Holy, 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 worthy, 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 worthy. If you're saying things like, I don't like that worship because they say the same thing, then you don't know a thing about worship. And if that's you, I'm sorry, or maybe I'm not sorry. That's what it is. That's what the word over and over, night and day, for all of eternity, worthy, worthy, worthy to receive honor and power and glory and dominion forever and ever and ever. Holy, 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 holy. With two wings they cover their eyes, with two their feet, and they fly. Holy, 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 holy. Sometimes the reason why you say it over and over and over is because you've picked up on something, an attribute, something that has been revealed to you about God that you value in him, and you can't stop saying it. Maybe it's a lot more like worship than what we thought. It was nearly soapbox, and I'm going to regress. Let's pray. Let's leave here tonight. Let's pray that the word has free reign. And when you pray for the lost, don't do it without walking through the best story that you can ever tell, which is the gospel in you, your testimony. Pray it that way. Pray it that way. Always, that he would be glorified.